Hello, this is Pastor Andy Roberts from Lake Highlands United Methodist Church, and we are so glad that you are listening to our sermon podcast today. You can find out more about Lake Highlands United Methodist Church by visiting our website, lhumc.com. If the message today blesses you, we ask you to consider supporting our church through a financial gift. We hope that today's message will help you become a more devoted follower of Jesus Christ, who loves God and loves people.
Our scripture today comes from John chapter 11, verses 17 through 37. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" This is a sobering story that we have heard perhaps in our Sunday school classes, groups, or teachings, or even as kids hear about it in Bible stories, and as taught by Miss Stephanie just right now. And we think about that and we're like, well, what? How are we related to this story in terms of our sermon series? I'm glad you asked. So this is selected for today for us to see a glimpse of Jesus and of God, of how to love people with God's gentleness, kindness, and patience. And I want to also point out that we have, this was made by Ms. Tanya Allen, our worship director for the traditional worship, where this week we see patience, kindness, and gentleness added to what we heard about last week's on compassion. So that's where we'll be going. I'll share with us how we'll get there, okay? So first, let's start with a text today. We hear about Jesus knowing that someone whom he loves is dying. In fact, this tells us through scripture that Jesus had known Martha and Mary and Lazarus probably very well. Jesus doesn't have favorites, but it just happened that this was presented to us for us to remember today, that Jesus probably spent some time having dinners with this small family and other friends in the village. And what we hear about is that Jesus took his time. And I would think that the disciples, as well as Martha and Mary, must be thinking, what is Jesus about? Is he caught up in something else? It was not until that we hear John tell us very, very in detail that Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. In a tomb similar to probably what Jesus will be buried in. It was in a cave with a rock rolled in front of it. It was customary in the days of Jesus for bodies of those who have passed away to be laid there to rest. It's a tomb. And so Jesus comes to this village, and Martha heard and came out right away moving and asking Jesus, why? Jesus was all kind and patient. Now, Jesus doesn't explain everything right away. So there's a moment of pausing, a waiting to see what is Jesus going to do. But Martha, I'm sure, having spent some time with Jesus, also knew that Jesus was going to reveal something about the situation. And Martha also waited. Then walking in closer to the rest of the family, Mary was there, and Jesus also interacted with Mary. And we also think, well, what is going on? And probably the bystanders and the crowds were thinking, what's happening here? And what's curious is that Jesus probably could have said a word and Lazarus would have been healed. But Jesus walked to the tomb where the stone was rolled away. They rolled the stone away so that there was an entrance, and Jesus walked in. Jesus wept. And how we see that Jesus' human side and divine side, how Jesus truly cared so much for Lazarus. And might we say Jesus cares for every single person exactly the same way. And how we see this moving depiction of Jesus going in to the tomb. And I was thinking of some visuals that might help us think through that, although I know our life experiences probably have taken us to places of deep grief that we don't need pictures. But these are just some of the paintings that some artists that are fairly well known, some not as well known, that share with us what their feeling of encountering death might feel like. And so if we could show the first painting, which is a painting by Edvard Munch, a famous painter. And this is a painter who depicted a family at the deathbed, at the side of a loved one, at the deathbed. This is not Lazarus, although we can probably go into this painting and experience what it would have been like to be with this family as portrayed, and with Lazarus' family, Mary, Martha, and all the friends and the acquaintances and the relatives, extended family of Lazarus, and that Lazarus was dead. If we could show the second one. Here is another famous painter, Vincent van Gogh, who interpreted the story, the account of Lazarus being raised to life. And actually, this title of the painting is Jesus Raises Lazarus to Life. And I was looking for Jesus in this, but I don't think I see Jesus in the painting, but Jesus is there, I'm sure. We see two women just ecstatic with shock and surprise and joy, and how the moment came where they realized that Jesus, who came to them so patiently healed their brother, who awoke from the pain and the suffering of dying, of illness, and came back to life. And then we think about all that, and I also want to share with you from another perspective that I came across with when preparing for this week. You show the third painting. This is also an artist's interpretation of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And it's a wonderful painting by a painter from Cameroon in Africa. And the painter's name is Jesus Mafa. And this is you can see Jesus with arms out, raised out forward, and the whole community and the probably tribes and family and friends gathered together. I would say probably even strangers would gather together, and how Lazarus comes out of the tomb. And we think about that, and what we are thinking about today is we're focused on Jesus. A sermon is dead if it doesn't share this viewpoint from Jesus' viewpoint. I say that for today. If we just think about compassion and patience and kindness and gentleness, myself, I cannot have the compassion of a God if I try to will it in myself. If I try to make myself say, okay, Sylvia, wake up today, I have to be more gentle, more patient. You know what, by the time I see my toddler, I'm gonna lose all patience. So my prayer is, God, help me be more patient with our child. Help me be more patient with my husband, and you know, and so forth. And so there are situations that perhaps will test us, and some situations that will take us to the point of the sorrow and grief, perhaps as experienced by Lazarus's family. Through it all, we have to remember that we are called by God, as God calls all people, children and adults, to be in relationship with God, God who is a God of grace. And so how do we love people as God loved people? Well, first we need also to think about, how do we love ourselves as God loves us? And then how do we love people as God loves people? And we are part of the people. So how do we love everyone? And I think it's as we are moving and following Jesus, is that the founder of Methodism says it so nicely. I just think it helps me to get out of this mode of a checklist. John Wesley talked about how our lifelong journey as we move through life is that we are being transformed through sanctifying grace. That is God's work alone. But we are called to cooperate and join with God to become more like Jesus. And what happens is that in our daily activities, there'll be those moments. So watch out. You pray for more peace, to be more peaceful. There'll be moments when we just don't expect it, but we'll be confronted with a situation or a person or people where we're like, we might just lose it just right now. You know, it's just really hard. But what we do is, I would say, don't beat yourself up. I've beaten myself up plenty of times internally. But what we do is we go to God and say, God, help me. Help me to receive the love you have for everyone. And help me Holy Spirit, help me to love people with the love that you have. And I think that's the key. The key is when we try to do ourselves and think this is a to-do list, or not even that, but we really try hard to be the best Christian person we can be. Y'all, it's not self-help. Because I tried many years to live as a Christian that can be the most best Christian ever. And not because I was trying to compare with people, that's the way I was taught. You know, can't do this, can't do that, need to do this, need to do that. Over the course of a few decades of living and more experiences of life, is I realized that God shared with me God's love toward me through the love of people. That's what literally brought me back to life and transformed me to really have experienced God's grace through my own personal experiences. I'd be happy to share with you, outside the context of today's sermon, I've shared some in other sermons about just the difficulty I experienced in my 20s and 30s and where I left church, and then God found me and brought me back to church. And where I hit rock bottom, I realized that what is true in life is Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And how God has taught me to not judge myself, because with the judgment I judge myself, I also judge other people. And so God is sharing with us through this scripture passage for us to love people the way Jesus Christ loves every single person. And it's one big example from today's scripture is just to see how Jesus loved all the people that we heard about in the scripture reading. About Lazarus, my assumption is that Lazarus was a good guy, but we don't know. Maybe he wasn't so nice. We don't know. You know, but I don't want to have these speculations going on, but we just don't know where the person's experiences or personality, how they're formed, what they're like. But Jesus did not discriminate. Jesus did not have biases about the people he encountered. Jesus doesn't discriminate among us. Jesus goes to each person, each of us, the way we are, and treats us with compassion, patience, kindness, and gentleness, and guides us to grow and to be more open to God's transforming us to become more like Jesus Christ. We could show the last painting. Last painting is also a well-known painting. This is by Rembrandt. This is titled Return of the Prodigal Son. I know I'm pulling this from another Bible passage, but what I was thinking about is for me to remember about loving people the way God loves people is if you could see The older man, with the hands on the back of the young man who is in the parable, is the prodigal son. And we see also the well-dressed man to the left. That is the older brother who is jealous that the father in this parable had thrown a big party for the wayward son who had gone away and lived some life and came to his senses and realized that where there was peace, he needed to be back with his father. And so here, I think what we can see is not to analyze the painting or analyze the parable of the prodigal son, which is found in chapter, I think, 15 of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, for us to see the hands of God, the hands of God depicted by Rembrandt in this painting, the hands of God that show such gentleness, such peace and patience and compassion and gentleness. There's no questions asked, just be still. And as God calls us, God says, be still and come back to God. God says, come back to God, come back to Jesus. And that is, I invite us to hold that image of God gently guiding and holding us to grant us the grace to receive God's love so that we can open our hands and our arms and our walk and move and think so that God's love poured through us, through the Holy Spirit, will help us to love people and love ourselves as well. So I invite us this week is to perhaps think about images of God that we might have been taught, images that you like, images that you did not like, and what speaks to you, and how God invites us to get to know God more and to know that God is God who loves without any strings attached, and that like this gentle father depicted by Rembrandt, as the scripture itself today tells us how Jesus wept, and Jesus loved. Jesus continues to love and calls all of us by name to want us to come back to more life, to follow Jesus, so that we can love people with the love that God has for everyone. And how marvelous is that? Is that then we grow more in community and we get to experience things in ways that we perhaps would not have had the opportunity to experience and go through. And just a teaser, I think next week we're going to hear more about having that sense of wonder and curiosity and how God shapes us and teaches us to love God more and love people more. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, thank you so much for guiding us and loving us through life, through the valleys and the heights of life's experiences. We lay before you all of our hurts and the harms, and we ask for your forgiveness on those people who have harmed us, and forgive us for not loving as you would like us to love ourselves, and that you would like us to love other people. We especially devote our prayers of healing and strength for to love, help us to love our family and friends and our coworkers. Help us also love people that we do not know, but you have called us to encounter and experience life together. We give you thanks and pray that all of your blessings will flow to everyone on this earth, and that everyone will come to experience and profess the love of Jesus and to experience faith in Christ, that your kingdom come. We give thanks, God. Amen.